Let me go ahead and dismiss our young ones. There's a few of them around, and so if you are young enough and can still fit into one of those chairs. For the rest of us still in here, let me invite you again this morning to turn to 1 Corinthians. We're going to fast forward to chapter 12 today. 1 Corinthians chapter 12, we're going to pick it up in the first verse and read 1 through 7, and I'm going to invite Cliff to come on up. He's going to read for us. And then I will pray. If you're grabbing a pew Bible, page 813, please be aware that I am going to be jumping all over today. But for the beginning, let's start here with 1 Corinthians 12, 1 through 7.
Now about spiritual gifts, brothers, I do not want you to be ignorant. You know that when you were pagans, somehow or other, you were influenced and led astray to mute idols. Therefore, I tell you that no one who is speaking by the Spirit of God says, Jesus be cursed, and no one can say Jesus is Lord, except by the Holy Spirit. There are different kinds of gifts, but the same Spirit. There are different kinds of service, but the same Lord. There are different kinds of working, but the same God works all of them in all men. Now to each one, the manifestation of the Spirit is given for the common good.
Thank you, Cliff. Let's pray. Holy Spirit, we, as the song shared with us, Lord, we do ask that you would now speak. And as we still our hearts and our minds, that you would speak to us, that you would give us ears, give us eyes, that we might hear and see what it is that you would have for us, and that when we leave here today, we would even leave a little bit different than when we first came in, always because we've met you here. So as always, I ask now that you would be in and over and under all through my words, that I would speak your heart. Amen. Life is real. Life is earnest. And the grave is not the goal. Dust thou art, to dust returnest, was not spoken of the soul. Not enjoyment and not sorrow is our destined end or way, but to act that each tomorrow find us farther than today. This 19th century poem, it's titled A Psalm of Life, written by one of the so-called great fireside poets, Henry Wadsworth Longfellow. A poem that I think speaks to the heart, the essence of what Paul is writing to those in Corinth. Longfellow begins here speaking into, as he says, life is real, speaking into the reality of life, a reality of life as we have seen. That is all the ways that we go sideways, all the ways that we can become at odds with one another. To use Paul's language, it's division and it's conflict and it's dispute and it's disagreement. We can think of the reality of our differentness. And Longfellow, he speaks to that. He says, life is real. He goes on to say, life is earnest. Life is earnest. We can think deep, sincere, heartfelt. We can think back to even last week, right? Valued and esteemed, equal concern. Right? As we saw last week, right? Again, that it speaks into all that matters. He says, life is real, life is earnest. And then he moves to speak of the soul. And we can think here of the eternal. What is eternal? What is of the spirit? And so in the midst of the realness, in the midst of all that is earnest, and in the midst of the spirit, we then read, but to act that each tomorrow find us farther than today. Right? That each tomorrow, it's an orientation, it's a posture. But to act that each tomorrow, this posture, this orientation, that it would find us farther than today, that we would live into this kind of whole other way of being, a way of doing life and relationships, the activity of life. And Paul, he speaks to all of that. He speaks to this way of life. In 12 and 1, we read, "Now about the gifts of the Spirit, brothers and sisters." Note the emphasis here is not on gifts. And we need to get that. It's on the Spirit. In fact, one word, gifts of the Spirit, is one word in the Greek. It's pneumatikos. And you might remember from a couple of weeks ago, we talked about pneumatikos was the one who had the Spirit and was walking in step, in rhythm with the Spirit. That can be actually translated people of the Spirit or things of the Spirit. It's what the Spirit is up to, the activity of the Spirit. And consequently then, as a people of the Spirit, Paul writes, "I do not want you to be uninformed." Point being, it's not about, to quote from Longfellow, it's not about enjoyment. It's not about sorrow. Not to be dismissive of either of those, right? We experience joy. We're called to live in joy. We're also called to lean into the times of sorrow. So it's not being dismissive of that. But the deeper point here is to act, right? Posture, orientation is to act that each tomorrow find us farther than today. Meaning the activity of your life and mine is to travel in the way of the Spirit. Which I think then begs the question, well, what does that look like? What does that look like to travel in the way of the Spirit? What does that look like? And so I want us to head to a number of different passages this morning. For one, we're going to time travel all the way back to the beginning. We're all the way back in the beginning, Genesis 1:1. And there we read, "In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. Now the earth was formless and empty. Darkness was over the surface of the deep. And the Spirit of God," Ruah in Hebrew, "the Spirit of God was hovering over the waters." Point being, here you have the Spirit at work in creation from the very first moment, from the very first spark, the very first inspiration, the activity of the Spirit at work. And it says, the Spirit of God, what is it doing? It is hovering. Rahav in Hebrew. That can be translated to cherish. It has this sense of care. We can think last week, this sense of value and esteem. And here we read the Spirit is hovering over the waters. The Spirit cherishing. The Spirit valuing and esteeming. Let's head over to Psalms, noting that all through the Tanakh, what is the Hebrew scriptures, what is the Old Testament to you and me, all over hundreds and hundreds of times we read of the Spirit, the activity of the Spirit, what the Spirit is up to. In Psalm 104, we pick this up in 104 and 24. We get a picture, we get an idea of this activity. We read, "How many are your works, Lord? In wisdom you made them all. The earth is full of your creatures. There is the sea, vast and spacious, teeming with creatures beyond number, living in all of their differentness. There the ships go to and fro, and Leviathan, which you formed to frolic there. All creatures look to you to give them their food at the proper time. When you give it to them, they gather it up. When you open your hand, they are satisfied with good things. When you hide your face, they are terrified. When you take away their breath, they die and return to the dust." Then we want to catch this. When you send your Spirit, right? Ruah, pneuma in Greek. When you send your Spirit, it says they are created. Means they are given life. And you renew the face of the ground. Right? Meaning all of creation. And so we have the Spirit, right, in the beginning, cherishing, valuing, esteeming. We have the Spirit. We have the Spirit bringing life and renewal. Let's go over to Isaiah 42. We get another picture. This is God speaking. And he says, "Here is my servant," interesting in light of last week. "Here is my servant whom I uphold, my chosen one in whom I delight. I will put my spirit, it says, on him. And then notice the activity of the spirit. He will bring justice to the nations. Right? Hundreds of years before Jesus, God says, my servant is coming, right? I will put my spirit on him. He's coming in the way of the spirit. He'll be in the activity of the spirit, and there will be, he says, justice. Let's flip over to Isaiah chapter 61. This is both a poetic and a prophetic word. Picking it up at verse 1, we read, the Spirit of the Sovereign Lord is on me. And again, notice the language, the Spirit of the Sovereign Lord is on me. Because the Lord has anointed me, that can be translated empowered. Because the Lord has anointed me, has empowered me. And then it says, to proclaim good news to the poor. He has sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, proclaim freedom for the captives, release from darkness for the prisoners, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor. Isaiah says, right, God will put the Spirit on him, on his servant, and he will be empowered to heal, to restore, to reconcile. We have the Spirit of God, Ruah, Pneuma. We have the Spirit cherishing, valuing, esteeming, bringing life and renewal, bringing justice, right? To heal, to restore, to reconcile. Let's go to the Gospel of Luke. We have just time traveled now another hundreds of years. Now in the first century in Luke, one of the four Gospels that tells the story of Jesus. And in Luke 3 and verse 21, we read there, when all the people were being baptized, Jesus was baptized too. It says, and as he was praying, heaven was opened and the Holy Spirit descended on him in bodily form like a dove. Flipping over to chapter 4 in verse 14. Jesus has now gone into the desert. He's been there 40 days, temptation, all of that. Verse 14, Jesus returned to Galilee, and here it says, in the power of the Spirit. The Spirit is on him. And then if we drop down to verse 17, Jesus is now in his hometown of Nazareth. He goes to the synagogue, which was his pattern. He's handed the scroll. It's the scroll of Isaiah. He opens it. He finds this place, and he reads, the Spirit of the Lord is on me, because he has anointed me, right? He has empowered me. And in effect, Jesus is saying, I am the one. I am the one that Isaiah was talking about. I am the one that Isaiah was pointing toward. He says, I am the one that you have been waiting for. And in effect, he says, I'm here to bring good news. Right? I'm here to bring good news to the poor, to the destitute, to the outsider, to the less than and to the not enough. To the one who is in the margins, to the I just can't seem to get it all together. And he speaks of freedom for those who are burdened. He speaks of restoration for those who were struggling with guilt and shame. He offers healing for those who are suffering from sickness and disease, to bring justice, right, to bear. In effect, to put the world to rights. The Spirit, right, from the very beginning. Cherishing, valuing, esteeming, bringing life and renewal and justice and healing, restoring, reconciliation. And what I want us to get is that Jesus, he does all of that, right? All through the Gospels, we read of Jesus, right? Restoring and healing, reconciling, bringing justice to bear. And it's really easy to say, well, of course Jesus does those things, right? I mean, he's God. So, well, yeah, Jesus does that stuff. But what I want us to get is that Jesus is not doing all those things because he is God. Okay, he is God. But he's doing those things, the text tells us, in the power of the Spirit. in the power of the Spirit. Now, yes, Jesus is God. In fact, the orthodox kind of accepted traditional theological position. Yes, Jesus is fully God, and yet he is also fully human, right? Jesus took on flesh and blood, right? The scriptures tell us he became like us. Noting with that, in becoming fully human, what author Brian Orkin says, he laid down the God card. That Jesus laid down the God card. In fact, Paul, in his letter to those in Philippi 2:6, he writes this. He says, Jesus, who being in very nature God, did not consider equality with God something to be used to his own advantage. In Orkin language, he gave up the God card. He laid down the God card. And again, the point being that Jesus, he did all this stuff. He did all this stuff in the Spirit. He did all of the cherishing and the valuing and the esteeming. He did all of the bringing life and renewal. He did all of the bringing justice and the healing and the restoration and the reconciliation. All of it he did in the Spirit. The Spirit was on him. In the Gospel of John 14, and here's where it's going to get really crazy for us. Verse 12 says, very truly, I tell you, whoever believes, that's the Greek word pisteuo, I think it better translates as trusts, think of leaning into, not believe as an intellectual sort of assent, I mean, that's okay, but pisteuo, it's leaning into, it's trusting. Very truly, I tell you, whoever trusts, whoever leans into me, and then he says, will do the works I have been doing. He goes on to say they will do even greater things. Keep it in mind here, greater things that can be translated abundant or all the more. Keeping in mind this is not a matter of quality, but it's a matter of quantity. And so that could read, they will do more abundant things than these. He says, because I am going to the Father. And then we could ask, well, how does that happen? Verse 16, I will ask the Father, and he will give you another advocate. He will give you another advocate, Parakletos. What is a title for the Holy Spirit? He says, to help you and be with you forever. And then he goes on to say, he lives with you and will be in you. Point being, we have the same Spirit. The same Spirit that was in the beginning, right? Cherishing and valuing and esteeming. This same Spirit that was bringing life and renewal. The same Spirit that brings justice. The same Spirit that brings us restoration and reconciliation and healing. That same Spirit that empowered Jesus. He says, you, as one who pisteuo, who leans into, who trusts, right? You have that same Spirit. That same Spirit is empowering you, verse 12, to do the works I have been doing. Precisely meaning all of the cherishing and valuing and esteeming and bringing life and renewal and justice and restoration and reconciliation, and which is why Paul then goes on in verse 3, and he writes these words. He says, there are different kinds of gifts, but the same Spirit distributes them. There are different kinds of service, but the same Lord. There are different kinds of working, but in all of them and in everyone, it is the same God at work. Right? We could say that meaning in all of our differentness, in all of our differentness, different gifts and different kinds of service, different, it says, kinds of working, it is the same Spirit, right? It is the same God. It is the same God, Paul writes, who is at work. And then verse 7, Paul kind of draws, I think, all of that together. And he says, now to each one, the manifestation of the Spirit is given for the common good. Right, this manifestation of the Spirit given for the common good, to act, right? To act that each tomorrow find us farther than today. You might recall the story of Josh Ripley. Josh Ripley was a 16-year-old high school student. He was a cross-country runner in Minnesota. It was the Lakeville Invitational, a 2-mile cross-country race. There were 250-plus runners. And Josh's goal, his purpose, was to win. And as the race started, it was maybe just a few minutes into the race that there was this loud scream. And as Josh, as he came around the corner, he saw this competing student, this young man from another team, was lying on the ground. He was holding his ankle that was bleeding profusely. In fact, later when he was taken to the hospital, they put in 20 stitches. As Josh comes around the corner and he sees this young man bleeding and screaming out in pain, he turns to him, he goes over, he picks him up, and he carries him half a mile, what amounts to the length of 8 football fields. He carries this young man back to his coaches to act that each tomorrow find us farther than today. Right, the Spirit manifested, given for the common good, which I think invites us then to consider, are we doing life? Think posture, orientation. Are we doing life in this way of the Spirit? Are we in step and rhythm with the activity of the Spirit? We could ask in light of Genesis, do I create space where life is valued and esteemed? Here, this morning, with one another, with all others, wherever you are at any given moment, am I creating this space where life is valued and esteemed? We could ask it like this, do I create space where others are cherished and cared for? With those that maybe you know and with those that maybe you don't quite know yet. We can think back to the Psalms. Do I act in ways that bring life and healing and wholeness? Right? That is the way of the Spirit. Are my activities, my actions, do they bring life and healing and wholeness to others? We can think of Isaiah and ask, does my activity bend toward reconciliation and renewal? Right? Because again, the reality is, if you're not at odds with somebody right now, you will be. And we need to be willing to step into those spaces and to own it and to acknowledge it with one another. Not for harm, not to beat up or shame, but because we're all learning and growing and struggling and seeking. Does my activity bend toward reconciliation and renewal? We can think Isaiah 42, where it says he will bring justice. Do I work to bring justice? And it says to all nations. Justice to all nations. Keeping in mind all nations here, it refers to those who are the other. Right? Speaking into the Hebrew culture, and it was speaking of those who were Gentiles. In fact, I think the word could be translated as Gentiles. In effect, meaning someone who is other than. Someone who is not like me. Someone who is not part of my in circle. Right? Do I work to bring justice to, we could say, to all others? Right? All those who are other, all those who are different. Again, meaning those not like me. Those who don't look like me, talk like me, walk like me. Those who are other, do I work to bring justice to all others? And finally, in light of Paul and Longfellow, we could ask, or I think we need to ask, in the reality of life, again, meaning in all the sorts of ways that we are at odds, in all the sorts of ways that we can become divided, in the midst of all of the dispute and the disagreement, we could ask, in the reality of life, am I seeking after the common good? Am I seeking after the common good? Remembering, right? And we can think of Adolf Hoy. We are bound together. We are bound together. Equal concern, right? Our success, our greatness, our freedom, our ache, our joy, all of it, in all of it, we are bound together. We are bound together of equal concern. In all the stuff of life, am I seeking after the common good? But to act that each tomorrow find us farther than today. Right? The manifestation of the Spirit. The Spirit is given for, Paul writes, the common good.